This Bible talk, titled Walking with God, is on Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 18. It was recorded at Robina on Sunday, the 6th of September, 2020, and is the final sermon in our series in Colossians, Renewed Image.
What is the best hotel in Phuket? Will the sand in Egypt affect my asthma? I'm going on a cruise. What will the food be like? Can you drink the water on the ship? Do you remember when we used to be able to travel? You remember when that was a thing? Well, these are actual questions asked to the Australian Embassy by Australians travelling overseas. But the federal government has warned Australians not to expect them to bail you out of trouble if you get in trouble while you're overseas. One Aussie requested the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade to feed her dogs for her while she was away. There's been numerous requests to store luggage, to hold the mail from the postman, to provide banking facilities, even arrange local tours. Multiple embassies have received countless inquiries from Australians overseas asking where is the closest pub televising the state of origin. One 80-year-old traveller demanded to know why the embassy wouldn't come and help him pack his bags for him. He told the Australian consulate, "I'm travelling alone and I'm too old to pack my own bags." One mother wanted the embassy in Bangkok to accommodate her son, to provide accommodation and a return ticket to Australia for him, to provide a driver to take her son to the airport. Does the embassy know of any hotel vacancies in Phnom Penh? Can the embassy obtain prescription medicine from Australia for me and send it so I can continue on my holiday? One Australian who had his laptop stolen overseas requested the Australian embassy staff to pick him up from the airport, loan him a laptop, and to provide him office space for a few days. All harmlessly embarrassing enough, I suppose, but these next two, they really take the cake. Australians evacuated by our government at its expense during a major civil uprising in the Middle East wanted to know why they weren't entitled to claim their frequent flyer points. Australians evacuated during a natural disaster in Asia made seat allocation requests to fly home first class. Now, if these stories were about Americans, we'd be in stitches, wouldn't we? But these are stories about Australians. They're people just like us. Makes you proud to be an Australian, doesn't it? Or at least a South African with a passport. A lack of knowledge, which is really embarrassing. Strange priorities and a very disturbing view on reality. But what are your requests about God revealing of you? What kind of requests are you making of God? What do your prayers say about and reveal about your heart? And this morning we finish our series on Colossians. It's a series called Renewed Image because we're being renewed in Christ's likeness, being renewed in the image of our Creator. The Lord of creation is the Lord of the new creation. All things created through him and for him are now all things being reconciled to him. That's what Colossians has all been about. Paul says we've been raised up with Christ. We need to set our minds on things above. In Christ, we are the new creation. We need to put to death the old self. Yet still our mouths, they give us away, don't they? See that with me, Colossians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. I've got the words here behind me. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. There it is, renewed image. Just as our words reveal our hearts to other people, so our words give away our heart's location. So our prayers reveal our hearts before God. How we pray is a reflection of what we believe about God. What kind of requests do you make of God? What things are you asking God to do for you? What do your prayers now reveal about your heart? Paul says when it comes to prayer, we need to be talking to people, we need to be talking to God about people. He says it's necessary that we speak. If we've been raised up with Christ, we need to continue redirecting our lives towards Jesus, he says. We need to set our hearts on things above. See that with me, Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is bringing earthly things before the throne in heaven. Prayer is submitting all things to the Lordship of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is Lord of all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. All things created through him and for him are now all things being reconciled to him. When we pray, we're submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. We're bringing everything under his rule and authority. If you want to know what your theology is like, look at your prayers and not at your creeds. It's not that Paul says devote yourselves to prayer like it's something new or extra that we now have to do. Paul tells the Colossians to continue in prayer, because prayer is the acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. Colossians 2 verse 6, see it with me. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Continue to walk in him. Continue in prayer, says Paul. Prayer is continuing to walk with Jesus as your Lord, continuing to live in what it is that you've already received. But notice what our prayers are to be like. We need to be alert. Being watchful means being watchful means. It means being alert. Before he defeated every rule and throne and power and authority, before he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross, Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you remember what he said? Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. Friends, the end of all things is near. The new creation, it has already begun. We are caught in the now and the not yet. Christ will soon appear in glory. And when he appears, friends, we will appear with him too. So we can afford now, no matter what's going on, to be thankful. Thankfulness in everything that we do. Colossians 3 verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Prayer is faith expressed on its knees. Prayer is worship, so it needs to be thankful. You and I know how the story is going to end. Everything might seem confusing and uncertain right at the moment, but the mystery has now been revealed to us. We know how it all finishes, with Jesus on his throne. We can pray with confident thankfulness. Thankfulness for what he has done and for all that he's now doing. Because all that's been created through him and for him is now all that's being reconciled to him. So be thankful because Jesus is Lord. Continue watchful and thankful in your prayers so that every creature under heaven hears the gospel. Our prayers, they need to be purposeful. Our prayers, they need to be gospel-centered. We need to ask God to do for everyone, everywhere, what it is that he's already done for us. Look there with me at verse 3. Pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the world to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. We are invited into God's eternal purposes for the world. We get to play a part with God. All things are being reconciled to him. Being watchful means knowing the time. We're caught between the old creation and the new creation, which has already begun. We ask God to open doors for the gospel everywhere because the mystery has now been revealed to us. The hidden mystery, Paul now proclaims, is the same gospel that Epaphras brought to town. The gospel bearing fruit and growing in Colossae is the same gospel that we now pray will spread to everyone everywhere. Because remember, friends, everywhere the gospel goes, it grows. Look there, chapter 1, verse 6. Pardon me. The gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. You see, that's what the gospel does everywhere it's preached. Everywhere it goes, it grows. And so we ask God to open doors, and we pray that God, we pray for those who will open their mouth as well. Look there, verse 4. Pray that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So we pray for the preacher who proclaims the gospel. And we pray for the revelation of those who reveal its mystery. Christ in you, the hope of our glory. You see, our involvement in the work of God isn't some passive attendance that we do once a week. It's active partnership with Him, continuing in prayerfulness, watchful because we know the time, thankful because we know how the story ends. We pray that God will open doors, and we open our mouths at every opportunity that we get. Look there at verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. It's necessary that we speak, and it's necessary that we speak to everyone. You see, how you live matters. Let me say it again. How you live matters. There needs to be consistency in our lives. We've seen that right through the letter to the Colossians. Paul prays for them in chapter 1, verse 10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul reminds them to live what they believe. Chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Paul tells them to live differently to everyone else. Chapter 3, verse 7. In this you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Belief and behavior, conduct and confession, life and lip, word and works, how we behave reflects the things that we believe. And what we believe is reflected in our behavior. So if your conversation is going to be salty, if we're going to arouse a thirst for people to listen, if we're going to choose the right words carefully, if our words are going to reflect the fullness of God's grace, we need to be speaking differently to how the world speaks. When we speak with a forked tongue, the world hears nothing that is good or different. They see no reason to consider our faith, no need to re-examine their beliefs. They're not asking questions about your faith. They are questioning your faith when you speak like them. Our job is to look like everyone else, but to live differently to them. But we get it the wrong way around, don't we? We live like everyone else, but we look differently to them. That's not making the most of every opportunity now, is it? How you speak about people in here is just as important as how you speak about people out there. And even more importantly, how you speak about the people in here, out there, matters more. Being a Christian isn't something that you do on Sundays. Christianity doesn't goes to work with you, and it comes on holidays with you as well. You know, some people will say that our church doesn't do much evangelism. But I want to ask you, are you making the most of every opportunity? If you live and speak differently to those outside the church, I promise you, people will start asking you questions about your faith. And if they're not asking you any questions about your life, then maybe it's time you started asking a few questions of yourself. When the opportunity comes, we speak about our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory, because we know how the story ends. That's right. And we need to talk to God about people. And we need to talk to people about God. It's necessary that we speak, friends, and it's necessary that we speak to everyone. And in speaking of everyone, Paul now starts speaking about God's people. Let's meet some of them together now in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Paul is sending Tychicus and Onesimus to Colossae, and they're bringing this letter and news about Paul. When they get to Colossae, they'll let the Colossians know everything that's been happening with Paul. So what's been happening with Paul? Well, Paul's imprisoned in Rome. Though it's not really a prison, friends, it's more like a pit. I've seen it. It's actually like a great big dark hole. Paul's writing this letter to the Colossians, and he asks them to remember his chains. Paul is suffering for the gospel that sets us free, filling up in his body the sufferings of Christ. Paul's being taken captive by the gospel, and Paul's being taken captive now for the gospel. But Onesimus is a local. He's a Colossian. Like Epaphras, they serve their local church. Would you see that with me in verse 12? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Both of them, Epaphras and Onesimus, are servants of the local church. Both of them are messengers of the gospel. Epaphras, who planted the church in Colossae, is now with Paul in Rome, but his heart, Epaphras' heart, is still very much in the Lycus Valley where he's from. Epaphras is still serving his local church, praying for the churches in Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis. Can you see what he's praying for them? It's what Paul's been praying for the Colossians all along in chapter 1, verses 9 and 12. Filled with the knowledge of his will, standing firm, bearing fruit, being mature, being strengthened, fully assured. Epaphras is continuing in prayer, watchful because he's aware of the time, thankful because he knows how the story ends. Are you our Epaphras? Are you our Onesimus? Is this what you pray for us? Locally produced, bearing fruit in the local church, wrestling in prayer for the gospel on all of the Gold Coast. You know, sometimes we get so busy. Everything feels so fragile and uncertain at the moment, doesn't it? But that's exactly why we need to pray. Because prayer helps us see God's plans for the world. And prayer helps us see what God is now doing in the world. And prayer helps us to see people God's way. Sometimes we get so busy doing the Lord's work that we have very little time for the Lord of the work. We don't pray very well, do we? I don't pray very well. We don't pray very well together as a church either. But rather than you feeling guilty about that and not doing anything to change it, our church needs an Epaphras to help us to pray together. An Epaphras who will organise all of us to pray as a church. Will you be our Epaphras? An Epaphras who will organise us to pray. Come and see me. Let's talk about your new ministry. In fact, you can start immediately. We've got an online prayer meeting today. But I want you to notice something about Tychicus. Not only is he a dear brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant, not only is his name very hard to pronounce, but his express purpose in life and ministry, can you see it? Is to encourage the hearts of those in the church. Tychicus is traveling across the entire Roman Empire using first century modes of transport with no frequent flyer miles. He's traveling from Italy to Turkey with one Onesimus and one purpose. His mission in life is to encourage the church. Why don't you become our Tychicus? Why not make your express purpose and ministry to come to church to encourage the hearts of others? Make that your ministry amongst us. Let that be what you do here. So let's get started. Who can you encourage here amongst us this morning? Is there a phone call to someone that you could make this week? Please don't all of you ring me. Maybe one phone call would be nice. Maybe there's something practical that you can do for them. Because Christianity, remember, isn't just about ideas and ideals. It needs to be lived out amongst us if it's going to be real. Babysitting, cooking a meal, inviting them around for coffee for no other reason than to simply encourage their hearts. When I was in my early 20s at church in Parramatta, which is a little while ago now, an older guy named Brian used to write me notes of encouragement. Every now and then he'd slip me a piece of paper on Sunday morning at church telling me that he was praying for me. I have never forgotten Brian's encouragement. Every Thursday since I've been ordained, that is almost 18 years now, every Thursday, without fail, a friend of mine in Sydney sends me a text message and it just says, "Hey Mike, what can I be praying for you? Do you want a friend like him? Then you be that friend to somebody here." Let's pray. For little acts of faithfulness, our Father, we are so thankful. For little steps of encouragement to help us to persevere, to grow in maturity, to become more like Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, our Father, for the gift of church family. And we pray, our great God, that you would raise us up, and from amongst us, people who would see this as their ministry, to encourage the hearts of others, to gather us together so that we can pray, to pray for the work of the gospel here at Salt Church, but also right across the Gold Coast, the 750,000 people that live here. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're bringing all things together under your headship. We thank you that you've revealed to us how the story ends. And even though life now feels confusing and chaotic and painful and difficult and frustrating, we thank you that you've revealed to us the mystery kept hidden but now made known to us, that Jesus is Lord of all, that all things will submit to him. So we pray, our Father, that you'd help us to submit ourselves to you as well. Help us to be people who talk to you about people. Help us to be people who talk to other people about you. Help us to make the most of every opportunity, to open our mouths as the opportunity presents itself. And we ask, our Father, that you would help us to live in such a way that we are different to the world, that our lives and our actions, our words and our behaviour might cause others to ask questions. Help us to be ready to speak of our hope, the one in whom rules forever and ever, and that all things are being brought under his feet. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.